Well, I desire your prayers today. A little burden on my heart I've had for quite a while. I would title it Biblical Teaching on the Sexes. Biblical Teaching on the Sexes. I have felt for quite some time that we have a real need to reinforce the biblical teaching on gender, on male and female. And the reason I have felt that way is because our society is taking a different tack. They're trying to take the, not only have male and female, but I've really been surprised at the way that I have heard our society approach the idea of gender. That there is gender neutral. There are no gender. There's things that are asexual. There are just trying to transgender. All of those terms and phrases that we hear. And it's becoming more and more prevalent in our day-to-day lives. And I want to, this morning, by the help of the Lord, reinforce to our minds what the Bible says about male and female, about the sexes, about gender. And I'm going to go with some very fundamental things. And I want us to realize there in 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for instruction, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness. It's for all of those things. And we need that, the Scripture. We need to read the Scripture, and we need to realize that regardless of what the learned minds say, think, teach, present, there is one thing that is fundamental and will never change. It's the Word of God. The Word of God was given to us by revelation. It comes through God revealing Himself, His will, His mind to humanity through those who were willing to hear it. And by the Holy Spirit, inspiration, and write those things down. This is the revealed will of God to you and me. It is truth. And I want us to really embrace it, and I want to encourage parents in the world in which we live. It is reckless, careless on our part to just assume that our children are going to learn the responsible places, responsible teachings, that they're just going to get that by osmosis. We don't want to turn them loose into a society that's going to teach them things that are contrary to the biblical teachings on gender and sexes. We want to be able to do that ourselves, teach them. It's a beautiful thing that God has created. God created a beautiful world. He created a world that was perfect in its form. He created creatures. He created human beings that are perfect in their form. We have, as these human beings, God gave to us a will, an ability to choose. We have taken those things that God has made and we have perverted them. We have perverted ourselves. As human beings, we have perverted our thinking. We have perverted our thought processes. We have perverted our teaching away from fundamental, biological, provable things. And we've expanded it into things that are supposed. Suppositions, opinions, ideas. There are things, fundamental teachings from the Word of God that you and I ought to embrace. And we ought to present to those around us. Now, I'd like to begin with in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'd like to read a passage here, beginning with verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man, hear these words, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. If any man seem to be contentious, in other words, if any man contends about differences of these fundamental issues, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. May the Lord help us, folks, to realize that this passage speaks about man, woman, woman, man, the distinction between one and the other. It doesn't talk about a dysphoric situation. There is a term that you will hear very likely more and more often. It is called gender dysphoria. That term dysphoria, word dysphoria, D-Y-S-P-H-O-R-I-A. Dysphoria. And it means an unease or general dissatisfaction with my situation. Gender dysphoria means an unease or general dissatisfaction with my gender. There are studies, and I won't try to take time to bring it out here. I think we had a message sometime back, Babylonian Confusion, that had an article, had a reference to an article that I would encourage you to, if you would take the time to bring that up and listen to it and find the information there. There is a general unease in our society about things that are going on around us, and it's caused by the dysphoria that some people feel and pushing their agenda and ideas and thoughts upon you and me, trying to force us to accept something that is extra biblical. I want the Word of God. I want in my heart and in my mind those principles that are settled and established in God's Word. I will say this. Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary so mankind could be saved. He loves every man. He loves a sinner. He wants to do everything He possibly can to save sinners. And our prayer ought to be, Lord, those who are caught in this trap of confusion of mind and life, may God have mercy on them, and may we do all that we can to have fundamental understanding to present to them the Word of God that has the ability to save a man from his sins. Amen. Book of Genesis. We'll go to the beginning. There is another term that I have been hearing some. It is a word called parthenogenesis. Parthenogenesis comes from two words in Greek, and it means virgin. Parthenos means virgin. Genesis, creation. Virgin creation. Scientists have been tinkering with stem cells, chromosomes, things of that nature for many, 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 many years, trying to come up with a way to produce a living being outside of the normal biological process of copulation. They've been trying to do that for many, many years. The purpose of that is to get around the natural biological presentation. There are a few creatures who are able to reproduce through parthenogenesis. Generally, that is restricted to some snakes, lizards, reptiles. it has been shown that there have been a few eggs that produced a growing embryo outside of the normal biological process. However, those embryo that were growing inside this egg, it never came to hatch. There's a reason for that. It was unnatural. They never were hatched, and what was growing inside was deformed, abnormal. Any time that mankind tries to tinker with the fundamental things that God has established, there's going to be a train wreck in society. And folks, I'll tell you, we're experiencing some of that today. A train wreck. Now, Genesis 1:26 says this. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Male and female created He them. Now when God made man, man was made on that sixth day. Man was made, and you've heard me say it, the crown jewel of God's creation. He said, "Let us make man in our image." I want us to think about this. Remember that before the foundation of the world, before man was ever created, before ever a being was created that had a soul and had a will, God had ordained a plan for that man's redemption, since He gave him a will and the ability to choose. He also did not leave that man here on this earth with no ability to find redemption, just twisting in the wind, with no way for him to have correction in his life. If he made the choice to the will that God gave to him, if he made an errant choice, God ordained and established a way for that man to be rescued before He ever put him here and gave him the will. Thank God for that, folks. Thank God that He made a way for you and me to be rescued before ever man was created and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He had already established and ordained a means of rescue for that man if he chose to exercise wrong in his will. What plan, what did God ordain for man's redemption? Jesus Christ. If we think forward now, several thousand years from this occasion, Christ came in the form of human flesh. God said, "Let us make man in our image." I believe that when God created man, He said, "Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let's make this man after our image. And we're going to put something of earth in him, and we're going to put something of heaven in him. We're going to make him from the dust of the ground, from this world that I have created, this perfect world that I have created. We're going to make him from the dust of the ground, and we're going to put something in him that is not earthly, it is heavenly. It is soul. It is spirit. So we're going to make him in our image." And I do believe, if you'll give me this liberty, that the perfect divine mind of God saw down the long road of time that there would be a day that there would be a man walk this earth who was earth and heaven. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So He made you and me out of the dust of the ground. Now, Christ was divine. I understand. But He had a fleshly body. He had a fleshly body. And He felt the things that you and I face. Let us make man after our image. That image, I believe, that God had, there was one that was so complete, so full, so perfect, that it could not be questioned outside of God's divine mind and will and perfection of knowledge and understanding of what needed to be. He created man. Everything that He needed, every faculty that He needed, every ability that He needed, God created Him that way. Perfect, complete, whole. Let us make man in our image. And He created man. He created man after the image of God, and He created him in His own image. Man is a unique creature, folks. Created after God's image and created in His own image, because we are the only creatures on this earth who have choice, will, mind, the intelligence, the communication that we have. There are other creatures that communicate, but it's fundamental and it's basic. We have complexity in our abilities to communicate with one another and to communicate our will and our thoughts. Those are things that God gave to us. When He created you, He created me, when He created humanity, it was a beautiful part of creation. So He created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, them. Male and female created He them. Let's not overlook that little phrase right there. Male and female. When the Lord said, gave Adam the commission to name all the creatures as they came by him, you know the story. Adam looked at them, but it says there was not a help found suitable for Adam. All of these other creatures had, male and female. I don't know if Adam understood it because there was no woman. I don't know if there was something that God put in him as a longing and a yearning to have something inside of him fulfilled. I don't know if those things were there. I don't know. But I do expect, in my own thinking, my mind, I believe that Adam recognized if there was everything else, all of these warm-blooded creatures, all of these mammals that come before me, I see male and I see female. And I see that there is a difference between them. I see their anatomy. I see how they're made. And I see me. And I don't see anything like that to answer to me. I don't see anything that God has created around me that answers to me. I can't say that Adam was dissatisfied. I'm not going to go that far to say it. But I will say that I believe that there was something that God put in him where he was able to recognize there was a missing component. Genesis 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Down to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. What a miracle. Here's this man. Adam, go to sleep. In my mind, I see Adam lying out on the ground. God put him to sleep. God took one of his ribs. This scripture says that he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now to me that speaks of some type of a surgical procedure being done on this man Adam. That God took one of his ribs, and from this rib he made a woman. The rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Adam said, "This is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She'll be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Here is where Adam, I believe, saw the fulfillment of what God had ordained for him to be able to see. I brought all of these creatures before you, Adam, male and female of each one. Now you have the one that answers to you, one flesh. That does not mean that man was created male and female. That means that he created a male and he created a female. It does not mean he created one creature, both male and female. He created two creatures. One male, one female. That was a perfect world. That is what God ordained and established for humanity to be, man, woman, male, female. And the proper course of that would be through the biological processes, reproduction. He gave them the commandment, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Fill the earth. Have children. But we had a problem. You know what the problem is. The curse came. Adam and Eve transgressed. The tempter presented himself to Eve there in the garden. She listened, she considered, she contemplated, and she hearkened. And she brought to her husband Adam. He looked at that situation. I can't imagine all the feelings that went over Adam. This is the only creature here that answers to me. She has partaken of the tree that God forbade. And now she is standing before me telling me what she has done. And I have a bad situation on my hands and I got a choice to make. But he chose to partake with her. That's where the curse came, folks. You see, they exercised the will that God gave them and they made the wrong decision. So because of the curse of sin today, that perfect thing that God created in the very beginning has been corrupted. It has been perverted. It has been tainted. It has been tainted with thoughts and ideas and thinking and people choosing, pushing, forcing for their own way, which is what humanity does. Amen. That's what human beings do. If they're not sanctified by the Word of God, by the plan of God and His salvation, they push and push and push for their own way. Corrupted plan is what they had. They corrupted what God had done, and that's where you and I are today. We're living in a corrupted world. And it is no wonder that living in a corrupted world, we're going to hear corrupted things. We're going to hear corrupted teachings, corrupted philosophies, corrupted ideas, corrupted presentations upon what things God will accept, what we ought to accept. The voice of the Lord came to them in the garden and said, "Where are you?" "I was afraid. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Understand this, before this time it was a perfect situation. But because of this transgression, because of the curse now, Adam said, "I've got to hide. I've got to hide myself from God." Folks, we can make every effort to hide ourselves from the Almighty, but we'll never escape. We will never escape the all-seeing eye of God. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege of attending a conference. After a Supreme Court ruling that upheld same-sex marriages, several church groups were very uneasy about that. I was uneasy, still am uneasy about it. And they wanted to have a conference to give advice about how we can protect ourselves through things incorporated into the bylaws and use of facilities. Because if you recall, in Colorado, there was a baker who was approached about baking a cake for a same-sex wedding, and he refused. Now, there's recently been a Supreme Court ruling, 7-2, upholding his right to refuse to do that. I thank the Lord for that. I'll say this. I'm not looking to government to fix our problems, folks. I'm not looking to a president. I'm not looking to a Supreme Court justice. I'm not looking to anybody with flesh and blood to fix our problems. I'm looking to God Almighty, who is the only one that is able to fix these things. Now, He can use those people if He chooses to do so. We need to pray and ask God to help us. But after that ruling was given, that the Supreme Court would allow and recognize same-sex marriages, these groups said, "We need to talk what can we do to protect ourselves? And had some legal minds come in and try to give counsel and advice. And here's one of the things they said. And this comes under the topic of human sexuality. And it's a recommended addendum, a part of the bylaws for churches. Not just this congregation, but churches, Christian churches. It's under the title of human sexuality. It says, and listen carefully to these words. Listen carefully to these words. We believe that God has commanded that no intimate sexual activity be engaged outside of a marriage between one naturally born man and one naturally born woman. Who would have thought you would ever have to make the distinction and define that marriage cannot be except between one naturally born man and one naturally born woman? You know why it's that way? Because we have perverted. Human beings have got involved with our own will because of the curse, and we have perverted God's original plan. Because of gender dysphoria, because people who are unsatisfied with the way that they are, they may be born male but identify as female. Born female, identify as male, folks. That's the world we live in. These aren't comfortable things to have to talk about from time, but that's the world we live in. So, because they're dissatisfied, I was born male, but I don't want to be male. I want to be female. I was born female, but I don't want to be female. I want to be male. So, the world has come up with a solution to that. We can fix that for you. We can change your gender medically. That's where we are. That's where we are. One naturally born man, one naturally born woman. We believe that the only scriptural marriage is the joining of one naturally born man and one naturally born woman for life. Delicate things? Yes. But folks, I want you to know something. I made the comment the other evening. After we had left the funeral home, Sister Gladys Cascio's wake visitation, the gentleman who was on duty there, I think I was the last one in, and I said something to him, spoke to him, and thanked him for his work. And he said, "Pastor, I got to ask you a question." He said, "I have never seen so many women wearing dresses at one occasion in my life." He said, What religious affiliation are you?" So I attempted to explain that to him. I said, "I want you to understand something, sir. I have no right to force my ideas or thoughts upon anyone. We teach what we believe the Bible says. We believe what the Bible says about the sexes and about gender. We believe what the Bible says about being careful. We believe what the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, that a man shouldn't wear that pertains to a woman, and a woman shouldn't wear that pertains to a man. We believe that, and we embrace that. And we want people to do the things that they do because they understand the Word of God, and they don't do it because I say, if you don't, you can't come in these doors. I want them to do it because it is a conviction on their heart. I want them to do it because they think it's appropriate, because they think it's right, because they think it's pleasing to the Father." And he said, "Amen." He said, "The Scripture says, come out from among them and be ye separate." He said, "I applaud you. I've never seen so many people." He said, I'm looking around, I see all these women wearing dresses and skirts. I'm handing out some flowers to you this evening, folks. This morning, rather. May God bless us to live by His precious Word. It's right. It's what will carry us to the end when we walk off the stage of action to come to the end of our journey, and we stand before the One that made this world. We stand before the one that we read about in the book of Genesis that created them, male and female, created man unique in his own image and the image of God, that created him with the ability to make choices and decisions. We come before him, we follow these things, and we stand before him at the end of our journey and we want to hear him say, "Well done. Oh, I saw the things that you faced. I heard the way that society went. I saw what they did. I saw how they perverted my way and my word. But you fought against that. And I don't mean fight as in this, but you pushed against that. You wouldn't let that be you. You wouldn't make that a part of your life. You wouldn't partake of that yourself. You wrestled against that thing, that principality and that power. Well done, faithful servant. Enter the joys of thy Lord." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. There's a verse here I'd like to read, and I want to encourage you. Take this verse. Study it. Study this verse. I'm not going to try to do it here, but I want you to really look at this verse. Take this verse apart and study it. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. They will not inherit the kingdom of God." Study this verse. It's the Word of God. It's a fundamental. It is a biblical teaching on the sexes. This Scripture is. The Scriptures that we've read there in the book of Genesis, fundamental teachings. The Scriptures there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, fundamental teachings. I'd like to say this as we get ready to close. The world in which we live, folks, is a twisted, mixed up world. And there are people in this world who are very they're disoriented. They're sick, lost their way. They don't have these fundamental things. They need to understand what these fundamental things are. You and I have an opportunity. Not militantly, but we have an opportunity if something presents itself, if we have enter into a discussion with someone who embraces this type of a thought process of the gender dysphoria and the transgenderism, we have an opportunity to explain to them what the Bible teaches. We have an opportunity to explain to them these things and that Christ died to set things right, to fix things. We have that opportunity. People who suffer from those kinds of things, they have a real challenge in life. There's something deeply dissatisfying going on in their hearts and minds. It's a real challenge. And anyone suffering from that type of physical disorder, they need love. They need deep spiritual care. They need help. Maybe we can be one to help. This thing that you and I are dealing with today, people who deal with this dysphoria, I read this little quote. "It does not call for human identity, nor the overhaul of society. Not now, not ever. We cannot compromise on this point. It does not call for a new human identity." Folks, male and female. Male and female. God created His crown jewel, male and female. There is no third. There is no third. I understand that there are individuals who wrestle and struggle with these kinds of things in life. I understand that. And honestly, my heart goes out to them because I've read accounts of those who go through those medical, surgical changes to go from one to another, gender from one to another. The stresses that they feel and the suicide rates are much higher amongst them. And I know it's because there's something fundamentally wrong. You're not going to find peace. If you have dysphoria about, I'm a male and I want to be female, I'm a female and I want to be male, if you have something wrong there and you're not at peace there, there's something else that's wrong too. There's some fundamental things that are wrong. And I know, and I pray, God have mercy on souls, because this is increasing in our society, folks. And the pressures that these individuals feel and the problems that they face, I say, may God have mercy on them. May God have mercy on me. May God have mercy on me, folks, because I'll say this. Within every one of us, without sanctification, is the seed or the germ to follow all matter of courses of wickedness and evil in life. It is only through the power of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, that is able to be broken through the plan of salvation. We have an opportunity. We have a responsibility. Number one, we have a responsibility to our children. Teach them these things. Reinforce to them that being created male is a beautiful thing. Being created female is a beautiful thing. It's what God designed. It's what He ordained. Oh, little girls growing up, you watch how they grow up. You see how they interact. You see how they do. They want their hair to look pretty. Amen. They want their clothes to look neat. Amen. They want to look nice. They have natural things in them that respond to those kinds of comments. If you say to them, oh, that's a pretty little dress you have on. We're not doing those kinds of things to try to inflate their ego or make them proud. I want them to know that I see you as this beautiful little girl. I want you to be happy being a beautiful little girl. Young man, I remember years ago, many, many years ago, I remember seeing a young man. He came out of the bedroom and got his clothes on, he was dressed, and he was all twisted up. His clothes weren't on straight at all. He had his shirt tucked in. He had his belt on. His belt was buckled. But his belt buckle was way to one side, and his shirt was down like this. And I said, son, let me show you something. I said, look, this is how boys are supposed. You're supposed to have your shirt straight with your belt buckled and your zip. All that's supposed to be in a line. I said, let me fix that up for you. I fixed that up for him. I said, God made you. He made you a little boy. Folks, we want to teach them. It's all right to be a little boy. It's all right to be a young man. It's all right, boys. I've been there. It's all right sometimes you want to stand in front of the mirror and look, yeah, I do have a muscle. It's all right to walk up to a little boy sometime and say, wow, I feel that hard muscle. I want them to know that God created them in that frame, and I want them to feel comfortable in the frame in which God created them. We can do those kinds of things for our little girls and our little boys, for our young girls and our young boys, our young men. We can do those kinds of things to reinforce to them the positive aspects of God's beautiful creation. And may help them to feel comfortable at that in which God has placed in the body where God that He made for them. To help them to know that this is a part of what God has for you. And He wants you to be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl for Him. He wants you to be. Sometimes we have the grandchildren. We have 10 of them now. We have the 7 boys and 3 girls. And sometimes my wife will make the comments concerning these boys. They get rough. I mean, they just get rough sometimes. Why do they do that? Because they're boys. They feel the strength in their bodies. They feel the strength in their muscles. They want to stretch that. They want to push. They want to compete. They want to try to see who can be the best, who can be the fastest, who can be the strongest, who's the tallest. We've all been there, guys. You know growing up how you looked. You know how growing up you said, I can't wait. Maybe I'll be 6 feet tall one day. that somehow that number, 6 feet, was a big number. Maybe I'll be, will I ever gain weight? Will I ever be a size 10 shoe? Those things, they're important to boys because it's like a rite of passage. And they ought to be able to have those kinds of feelings in their minds and know that it's right to feel that way. We need to be able to reinforce to them, yes, yes, there will be a day. You may not be 6 feet tall, but you still have a man's body. You will, one day you will grow up and you will have a man's body and you'll be able to think like a man, act like a man, you'll be strong like a man. There will be a day like that. Little girls. Their shoes, their skirts, their dresses, their hair. They like to hear the reinforcement. They like to hear the reinforcement of, isn't this a pretty dress? Yes, it's a pretty dress. Do I want them to be vain? No. I want them to be happy with who they are. I want them to know it's right for you to say, I want to look feminine. Guys, it's not right for you to want to look feminine. Girls, it's not right for you to want to be masculine. God created you a female. Boys, He created you a male. He wants you to be a male. Girls, He wants you to be a female. May God help us, folks. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. I want these things to be something that we carry with us, and I want us to reinforce to our children, to our youth, it is right. The way God made you is right. Male, female. They need to understand there's not a third. Male, female. Again, I understand the complexity. I understand that there are certain things that happen in the forming and the womb. I understand that there are some things that have, there are some deformities. I understand that. I realize that. I also understand that we have a society that because of the curse, we've taken the wrong trajectory. May God help us. You pray for me. Amen.